And now, ladies and gentlemen, meet the press. Ready for today's unrehearsed, spontaneous press conference are four of America's top reporters. Please remember that their questions do not necessarily reveal their point of view. It's their way of getting a story for you. Now meet Mr. Carlton Kent of the Chicago Sun-Times, Mr. Lawrence Spivak of Mercury Publications, the regular member of our press panel, Mr. Warren Francis of the Los Angeles Times, Mr. Frank McNaughton of Time Magazine, finally, Miss Martha Roundtree, moderator of Meet the Press.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, members of the press, Senator Keith Alba. Senator, if you're ready, we'll let Mr. Spivak lead off with the first question today.
Senator, there are many Democrats who believe that your crime investigations had a marked effect upon the elections. What do you think?
Mr. Spivak, I think the Democratic Party deserves some control for fostering this committee to investigate. I think we may have done some harm to the immediate candidates in some parts of the country. But on the whole, I believe the American people approve when any administration is trying to do something to clean up one of the greatest menaces that we have in America today.
Well, specifically,
so
Senator,
it works both ways.
Specifically, Senator, there are many leading Democrats who insist that you hurt the Democratic chances in some of our big cities by your investigation. Do you think that that is so?
I think that we did hurt the Democratic chances in some places, but I must say that they were carrying on activities and were in a situation where they were hurt anyway.
Mr. McNaughton.
Well, Senator, do you concede that your investigation out in Chicago was one of the prime factors in the defeat of Senator Lucas?
I don't think so. I don't think that our investigation had very much to do with Senator Lucas's defeat. Senator Lucas had supported our committee all of the way through. Nobody connected him with any of the matters brought out. You refer to Sheriff Gilbert in particular, I imagine. As a matter of fact, the Cook County boys should never have selected him as their candidate for sheriff in the first place. And they were in bad trouble with him before we ever came into the picture.
Well, Senator, though, didn't your investigation out there sharpen up that trouble and compound and aggravate it to a point where Senator Lucas came out of Cook County with practically no majority at all?
In Cook County, we proved organized crime on the part of some Republicans as well as some Democrats. Most of the evidence that was brought out about Sheriff Gilbert had already been stated in the press, that is, about his investment on the stock market and in the commodity market. I can't believe that our investigation had very much to do with the defeat of Senator Lucas, and I genuinely regret his defeat. I think he was a great majority leader and a very splendid senator.
Mr. Kent.
Senator, what do you think beat Lucas in Illinois?
I think the turn in the Korean War beat Senator Lucas. I think if it hadn't been for the coming in of the Chinese communists during the last days, that Senator Lucas would have been defeated. Also, it's quite true the Cook County Democratic Organization was having considerable difficulty, and that occurred before we ever came into the picture.
Mr. Francis.
Well, in New York, don't you think that the chain of events that your committee started off months ago had something to do with the mayoralty result?
The McDonald grand jury investigation started just about the time our committee got started. I think all over the country there has been a renewed activity, partly as a result of our committee, by grand juries, by honest investigators, by crime commissions. Our committee may have had something to do with the New York city election, but on the other hand, we proved that Saratoga had run for many years wide open under a Republican governor. It's true it didn't run this year, so we brought out facts on both sides of the aisle.
Mr. Spivak.
And Senator, as far as Saratoga is concerned, that isn't under the governor, is it? Isn't that under local government?
It's under the licenses are issued by the a control commission, which is appointed by the governor. It's also the state police have a right to close down places operating illegally in New York. It didn't operate this last year, but it's operated for 1 month For many, many years, of course.
Well, Senator, isn't it true, though, that you have found more of a link between gamblers and politicians in democratically controlled cities than in Republican-controlled cities?
I think that's true because more cities are democratically controlled than
there
are.
Were, Senator, isn't that so?
Well, they still are.
I thought there was a slight change.
Wherever you find crime doesn't know any politics one way or the other, Mr. Spivak, I'm sure you will agree with that. These fellows in organized crime, they care nothing about domestic political programs or about foreign policy. All they want to try to get is protection. And whoever's in power, they try to worm their way in and buy influence, buy protection. We found in Philadelphia, which is a Republican city, I believe, and we have found in other Republican cities, exactly the same pattern and the same situation that we found in Chicago and in New York.
Mr. McNaughton.
Well, that being the case, Senator, then how is it possible for you to get at organized crime if your local officials are conniving in it all the way through and helping them out with it?
How
can you get at it?
The great majority of people want to get at organized crime, and as long as they want to, they're going to find ways to do it. About the only thing one of the main things we've been able to do as a sidelight to our investigation is to turn the thing over to the searchlight of public information, and then local people will do the rest.
Mr. Francis.
Well, so far, Senator, a large amount of your investigation has been conducted behind closed doors, and you have not made public complete transcripts or detailed reports. How do you think that you're going to accomplish some of this wholesale reform if you're going to continue operating that way?
Well, Mr. Francis, I think we've already accomplished a great deal. We, of course, give out some information about what is told us in our executive sessions. But after we get all of the facts, and the only way you can get facts from hostile witnesses, where you have to examine voluminous records and also follow out leads that are given to you in executive session, is by having your first sessions behind closed doors. Then after that, when we know what our case is, what to look for, what testimony is relevant, we have open sessions, and that's made public. We did that in the state of Florida, and if you will examine what's happened in Florida since our investigation there, I think you would appreciate fully what we're talking about.
Well, now, Senator, I don't want to push you too fast. Have you reached the point yet where you can evaluate anything? Can you say whether you think corruption is widespread and serious in large cities?
Mr. Francis, I think organized crime in the country today would make kindergarten play out of the operation of the Capone boys back during Prohibition days. I think it's a menace that is threatening our democratic government itself. The influence in public officials, particularly public officials close to the people, has been very sinister and very great. The time has come when something must be done about it. Time's come when the people appreciate the menace that we are facing. And I'm glad that the United States Senate and our committee can have a little part in trying to alleviate some of the difficulties.
Mr. Kent.
Senator, I wonder if you noticed that last Friday the Cook County Grand Jury recommended that a special prosecutor and a special grand jury be appointed to investigate everything that the Kefauver Committee turns up.
Yes, I saw that.
And are you in motion now to cooperate with such an investigation? Have they called on you?
We have been in touch with them, and our general policy is to cooperate fully, and we even work harder when we know that a local grand jury is going to get into operation.
Mr. Spivak?
And I think it'll do a lot of good, too, Mr. Kent.
Senator, have you really learned anything by this investigation that almost all of us didn't know before?
Well, Mr. Spivak, we indeed have. Of course, there have been a lot of newspaper articles telling the story about organized crime, but getting down and actually proving it is another thing, and that's what we are doing.
Well, have you proved it?
We've proven a great deal of it. We've proven how they operate. As to whether there is one overlord of all of the organized crime in the country.
Well, is there one?
I can't definitely say, but I can say that they're well-organized, well-financed, tough groups, operating with tremendous influence in the various parts of the country, that they apparently get together and divide out territory so that they don't come in conflict with one another, and one calls upon the other for help from time to time. Then there's an interlocking ownership and directorship between all of these groups.
Well, Senator, but didn't we
I could
we
give
know...
you a lot of illustrations.
Well, didn't we know all that, though? Haven't the tabloids been full of that since the days of Prohibition? Have you any specific information? Do you know of any one overlord or any group of overlords? Do you know of any one syndicate, for example?
Oh, of course, I can give you the names of the people in the various syndicates, what they do, how they're connected up, how the people in the New York group are connected with the Florida group and with the Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago group.
May I take one specific name? Frank
yes,
Costello,
sir.
For example, has been named over and over again by the newspapers. Now, you investigated Frank Costello, and I believe you questioned him. Did you find...
No, that was the Commerce Committee that questioned Frank Costello.
Didn't you ever question
him?
We
have never questioned him, no.
Are you going to question him?
I'm not telling what our committee is going to do, Mr. Spivak. But I can say this, that we have been making a very substantial investigation of Mr. Costello's activities.
Well, can you tell us what you
We know, of course, that he has operated at Saratoga, that he has an interest in the club with Phil Costell in New Orleans, that he's had interest in Florida, that he's in touch with other racketeers over the United States, that he has substantial so-called legitimate interest, and that he has great political influence.
Well, Senator, didn't he under sworn oath say before that committee that he had no connections of any kind with racetracks or with bookies or slot machines or crime syndicates?
No, sir. He didn't say that he had no connections with that he didn't have all of those connections. I think he said he wasn't in the bookie business now. He said that he owned a part of the nightclub in New Orleans, that he had some oil interest, that he had been in Florida, that he had been in Saratoga, but he said he wasn't now.
Mr. Francis?
Well, but be sure, Mr. Spivak, that we will do our best with the personnel we have and the money we have to uncover and bring out to the inspection of public opinion any of the big-time fellows in the country that we can get at.
Well, Senator, this whole investigation, our whole inquiry, stemmed originally from concern about horse racing and horse race betting.
No, that isn't correct, Mr. Francis. I've been studying the crime reports of the various crime commissions in the nation for many, many years. The reason I filed the resolution was that many of us had become very much alarmed with the economic impact of
That's
this organized criminal operation. That is, taking billions of dollars from the poor people of the country every year. We're not out to crusade against gambling as such, or if anyone wants to play cards for money, that's their business. But what we do want to put some blocks in the way of, if we can, is this big-time organized operation that operates all over the country, that has tie-ins, that in many cases has become so powerful that local enforcement officers can't do anything about it. They are almost helpless in some cases. And then what these people do with the money, the tremendous amount of money that they take, they don't pay taxes on all of it. The way they operate, there's no way in the world of knowing that how much they make. And then they take their money and corrupt public officials, law enforcement officers. And then even as equally as bad as that, they also put their money into so-called legitimate businesses. But in these legitimate businesses, they carry on with the same racketeer methods that they did during their racket days. Intimidation, practicing unfair practices with their competitors, hold-ups and all things of that sort.
Well, what I was getting at is that now the emphasis is not strictly on the gambling being the underlying source of income that makes possible all of this.
Mr. Francis, different gambling operations is the main source of income at the present time. They've gone from prohibition to automobile thefts to black market, and now they've found that Gambling is the easiest way to make money, and so most of them are in gambling. But you find the same fellows, the top-notch gamblers, are also the same people, some of them, that you find in narcotics, that you find in the white slave traffic and counterfeiting, in lotteries and numbers rackets and all other kinds of crime. It's greater in gambling because these other things are against federal law and they're enforced by the FBI, and it's rather difficult to operate. But gambling is not a federal offense as such.
Now, Mr. McNaughton.
Well, Senator Kefauver, you mentioned narcotics, graduating from narcotics into other rackets. Did you make any investigation of the mafia organization, and do you find it tied up with gambling, narcotics, and political machines?
As we go along, we've made a considerable investigation of the so-called mafia. It's very, very difficult to get at because it's highly secret, and the members are pledged to secrecy. They risk their lives if they say anything. We do find that some people of Sicilian birth, and they're a great minority, and the other Sicilians detest this fact very greatly, operate together. They let their friends in on gambling or criminal activity or opportunities. They infiltrate into businesses. They never will tell on one another. They come to one another's rescue when someone gets into trouble. An example of how they may operate will be, you remember Campagna and DeLucia, the two Capone mobsters who were convicted in the Beoff Brown case. They were at Leavenworth when it was determined that they owed $190,000 to the government for income taxes. Well, Mr. Bernstein was their accountant and lawyer, and when this determination was made, people came in, five people at different times, and placed $190,000 in cash on Mr. Bernstein's desk for the purpose of paying the tax liability of these two men. Mr. Bernstein, Mr. and Mrs. Campagna, and Mr. and Mrs. DeLucia have never been able to find out who they were. That's the type of thing that you find in the mafia.
We'll let you get in just a moment, Mr. Kent. I don't think Mr. McNaughton finished his question.
Well, I'm going to grab Mr. Kent's question. Has the Kefauver Committee found out who they are?
We have made a very diligent search. We have an idea who who they are, but it isn't far enough along for us to say for certain.
I'd like to ask one other question right there. Isn't it a fact that most of these people...
But Mr. McNaughton, your question implies something I think we should make clear. It's not the province of our committee to try to solve every crime and every secret criminal activity in the country. We have hundreds of letters almost daily from people in towns and places wanting us to investigate their police department or some gambling operation in their community. We necessarily can't do that, and it's not proper that we do. We're only looking for the big, organized, vicious criminal element that is threatening local governments itself and is having a very bad influence even in some places in our federal government.
Now, Mr. Kent.
Senator, we watched your committee and its investigators going north, south, east, and west into the big cities in the country. But it seems to me that lately they have been converging on Chicago. Is this a proper deduction that you now suspect that Chicago is the headquarters of this network of crime?
Mr. Kent, Chicago is perhaps the one most important center of criminal activity, in our opinion. I don't know that we have one single organization in the country, so I can't say that Chicago is the center. New York, Philadelphia, Miami, I think Los Angeles and San Francisco and many, many other cities are very important. Chicago does have this one distinction, that is that the Continental Press Service operates out of Chicago. That is the lifeblood of the bookie business in the country today. It is the organization through which one group will know the other. It's a perfectly legal operation as it's now conducted, unless it's in violation of the antitrust laws. But that's located in Chicago. And then Chicago is the center for communications and transportation in the whole country.
Go ahead.
So it is very, very important.
Mr. Kent.
Don't you have a sort of a cure for the Continental News Service?
Well, there are a lot of things that could be done. You could make delay the giving of news services, but then you got a complaint about that. You could proceed at it again, and as a violation of the antitrust laws. We will come up with some kind of cure, I'm sure.
Now, Mr. Spivak.
Senator, your committee seems to have learned or confirmed what so many of us have suspected for a great many years, namely that there are crooked gamblers and there are crooked politicians and that crime is interstate. Now, what
do you
do about
it? Don't leave it all to politicians, Mr. Spivak.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that all politicians were crooked. I said some politicians are crooked. And there are crooked gamblers, and seems to be a connection between the two of them. Now, what are you going to do about it, now that you know all that?
At the time, our committee has to make its report, or we will have concrete recommendations accompanied by legislative proposals, which will, if passed, reduce, I think, organized crime to a local operation so that local communities can cope with it. I could give you the kind of thing that the types of legislation that we're thinking about, if you wish, although our committee isn't yet ready to make its final recommendations.
Would you give us one example, Senator?
Yes, I'll give you several. We're, of course, for the interstate ban on the shipment of gambling devices and one-armed bandits.
You're going to stop the interstate shipment of cards, too, Senator? You're going to stop the interstate shipment of cards, playing cards?
No, we're not going to stop the interstate shipment of cards, I wouldn't think.
Well, you think you're accomplished?
If they are ipso facto gambling devices, that's what we are aiming at. The bill almost passed this last Congress. We have to do something about the wire service. The postal laws should be strengthened so as to prevent the clearance of all of these gambling transactions through the mails. Also, the internal revenue laws must be amended so as to require real bookkeeping. They don't pay a fraction of the tax to the United States. They cheat the United States out of hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Also, I think when they're engaged in interstate crime activities, they should have to file a financial statement with each income tax return. That would enable the Internal Revenue agents to have a beginning point for the purpose of making a net worth increase.
Senator, isn't that really asking crooks to be honest when you ask them to do that? And are they going to do it?
Of course, they'll have to do it if we pass laws requiring them to do it.
Oh, well, Senator, now there are laws.
I must say
but they're still murderers now. They're not going to do it if they don't want to. If they're crooks, they won't.
Well,
do it, will
I can remember, sir, when the matter of robbing national banks was quite a problem in this country. We passed an act that did something about that. One time, a great many of these people were in the business of stealing automobiles and taking them to other states. The narcotic traffic used to be a great deal worse than it is, but we have passed laws that have taken care of, to at least some extent, with these problems. We can put a lot of blocks in their way. We can reduce it to a local operation where the big-time, sinister people can't operate across state lines. And when we do, it's up to the local people to do the rest.
Well, Senator, why doesn't the FBI get after them now if it is interstate crime?
Haven't we enough laws now
to take care of that?
Mr. Spivak, it isn't interstate crime. There is no federal offense against gambling. That's the reason they're able to operate so successfully. We don't have the federal tools to cooperate with the states to put them out of business.
Now, Mr. Francis.
Well, Senator, don't you think...
I want to say, Mr. Spivak, that what the FBI does, what it has jurisdiction of, it does an awfully good job with. And they've been most cooperative with us.
Senator, don't you think instead of passing a lot more laws, maybe a return to old-fashioned police methods, a flat foot on the beat and a little bit of stiff arm handling of it would...
You're exactly right, Mr. Francis. I think 95% of it then is a matter of local interest. A local public indifference is the reason for the big part of the crime in the country today. But we do have cases where even when the local people do their best to put it out of business, they just move over to another county or across the state line and carry on their operations just the same. That is, the absence of federal regulations in some cases prevents local people from being able to do a good job.
But you would go so far as to say that the people of Nevada can't have their slot machines, which they've legalized, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, sir. Our resolution prohibits us from making a recommendation for changes in state laws. They can do what they want to do.
Well, they can't import them.
Can't import them. They can't get them.
Oh, yes. They could import them to Nevada. Our recommendation is that they cannot be imported in carried in interstate commerce to a state where it's in violation of the laws of that state.
But this legislation that's pending now would require another state statute to...
Mr. Francis, I'm not going to let you finish that because we do not have time to answer. Our time is up. This winds up another edition of Meet the Press.